Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Parenting for Liberation, A Guide for Raising Black Children by Trina Green Brown. Narrated by Trina Green Brown. This book is dedicated to my daddy, Timothy Green, born September 20th, 1958, and transitioned January 14th, 2020. It is because of the love and power you instilled in me that I am the liberated parent I am. Love you, Daddy. Introduction. In 2014, when my son was 5 years old, it seemed like every time I watched the news, I saw another Black person being murdered or impacted by state violence. It wasn't only adult men and women, but young Black children's lives that were, and still are, being taken by those sworn to protect and serve. The recurring images of Black bodies left in the streets after being shot by police, such as Mike Brown, an 18-year-old gunned down in Ferguson, Missouri, in the summer of 2014, whose lifeless body lay in the street for 4 hours, coupled with the historical legacy of Black bodies hanging after lynchings, compounded my fears as a Black parent. Trayvon Martin, Jordan Davis, Ayanna Stanley Jones, and Tamir Rice are contemporary Emmett Tills. I became worried that I would become a modern-day Mamie Till Mobley, a mother-turned activist after her 14-year-old son, Emmett Till, was murdered in the summer of 1955 in Mississippi when Carolyn Bryant Dunham falsely accused him of whistling at her. Mamie is a foremother to the many modern-day mothers of the movement, all of whom are compelled by grief to share their children's deaths publicly with the world. It is a club that many Black mothers are fearful that we will be forced to join, crying over the bodies of our African-American children. This fear, which is a trauma response, encourages Black parents, including me, and maybe you, to engage in parenting strategies that are detrimental to Black children in the name of protecting them and us. These behaviors are rooted in what Dr. Joy DeGruy coined as post-traumatic slave syndrome, wherein African Americans adapted their behavior over centuries in order to survive the stifling effects of chattel slavery, effects which are evident today, in large part related to transgenerational adaptations associated with the past traumas of slavery and ongoing oppression. Dr. DeGruy gives an example of the survival strategies employed by enslaved mothers, such as being hypervigilant about the whereabouts of their children because it was unsafe for Black children to stray for fear of severe punishment. Does this sound familiar to you? This dynamic has definitely been at play in my parenting practice, and it took deep self-reflection and a lot of reading to begin to unpack it. Even though my family lives in a community with an enclosed community playground, I was terrified of allowing my son, Terrence, to play outside without me being present, let alone out of my eyesight. In the fall of 2016, I hosted a Parenting for Liberation gathering on a Black Friday. As parents sat in a community circle sharing our deepest fears, our children were next door dreaming up their visions of liberated lives as superheroes. At the close of the event, the parents and the children came together, and as each child shared their superhero name, costume, and superpower, each parent was to make a commitment to a shift that would help to foster that superpower in their children. When Terrence shared his superpower, to teleport, it dawned on me that he wanted to have the freedom to move without constraints of time, space, or even me as his mother. I made a commitment that day, publicly, to allow Terrence more space to explore and play. That shift came in increments. In 2017, when I finally allowed him to go outside and play without me, I required him to check in every 10 minutes with one simple request. Let me know you're alive. Every 10 to 15 minutes, Terrence would run to the door and check in. What he said upon checking in made sadness rise up like a lump in my throat. My 7-year-old son would burst into our home and yell, "I'm alive!" and then run back out to play. After a while, his non-black friends caught on and would come to the door with him, waiting for this small interruption in their playing to end. Though at the time it appeared to be a minor inconvenience, I realized I was communicating something to my son. When I saw my black boy having to affirm his life with his non-black peers in the background, I realized I was reinforcing that he had to validate his right to be free and childlike. It was like his own version of declaring, "Black Lives Matter." The only difference was that he wasn't proclaiming this to a racist system or institution, and he wasn't declaring this in the face of state violence. This proclamation was to me, his mother. He had to affirm to me that his freedom matters and his space to play and have fun matters. I realize that the mainstream may refer to this as being a helicopter parent. As a black parent who is raising black children, I did not see this as being a helicopter parent. In fact, many of us actually are parenting children in helicopter environments where our children are frequently under surveillance and their movements policed. Parenting under constant surveillance and policing places limits on the exploration, play, freedom, and free spirit of children and childhood. These conditions lead Black parents, including myself, to use harm reduction techniques, such as not allowing my children to speak up for fear of them being considered a threat, or having the talk with my children on how to engage with police, or being the fashion police for fear that what my child is wearing could cause deadly interactions with the police, or moving to a better neighborhood school because we believe that education is the ultimate equalizer. Parenting from these restrictive viewpoints increases dominance over children and can lead to engaging in abusive parenting practices, such as utilizing power and control, punitive tactics, and harsh physical, verbal, and emotional punishment. In my home, I found myself clamping down on my son, saying no more than saying yes, and raising my voice. I realized that I was not living out my values of equity and joy, love, and freedom in my home because I was parenting from a place of fear. I was parenting to protect, but protection did not allow my child to be free. I was putting boundaries and restrictions on my child's humanity, and I was blocking him from being his freest self because I was afraid. I realized I wanted and needed a shift. I wanted to unlearn and heal from my fear and replace it with liberation and freedom. In making the shift, I did an assessment of the resources and tools available for parents who are raising Black children to be free. I found online resources to engage children in conversations about race. I also found a few books and readings written by parents of color, such as Revolutionary Mothering, Love on the Front Lines, an anthology edited by Alexis Pauling Gums, China Martins, and Maya Williams, that focuses on placing mothers of color at the center of movement building and social change, and My Brown Baby on the Joys and Challenges of Raising African American Children by Deneen Milner, and Letters to My Black Sons, Raising Boys in a Post-Racial America by Dr. Carsonia Wise Whitehead. While I did find some resources to equip me and other Black parents with the necessary skills to practice liberated parenting, I yearned for more resources that spoke directly to the unique experiences of parenting while Black. I began to reach out to my elders and peers in the social justice community to engage in dialogue about their struggles and how they made and are making the shift from fear to liberation in their own parenting practices. In my early conversations, I realized that there is a gap to be filled for myself and for other Black parents. There is a need for both resources and tools and to be connected to each other. There is a need for parents to be in community with one another, having conversations about the day-to-day pains, struggles, joys, and hopes of raising Black children to be their freest selves. After realizing this critical gap in resources and community for Black parents who are intentionally practicing liberation in their parenting, I created Parenting for Liberation based on my belief in the power of parents to conceive, birth, and nurture liberation in the future. Launched in 2016 as a virtual platform featuring blogs and podcasts to connect, inspire, and uplift Black parents as they navigate and negotiate raising Black children within the social and political context of the United States, Parenting for Liberation is rooted in an Afrofuturistic vision of a world where Black parents are in community with each other to raise Black children without fear and instead parent for liberation. Our mission is to cultivate resilient and joyful Black families that are doing the healing work to interrupt historical traumas, dismantle harmful narratives about Black families, and create communities that amplify Black girl magic and Black boy joy and everything in between. Since Parenting for Liberation's inception, I have created space to learn with and from other Black parents about what it takes to be liberated parents. Some of the engagement strategies that have grounded my work for the past couple of years have ranged from one-on-one conversations with Black parents to large group workshops with parents and children, and sharing my learnings via writing both online and in print. I've been in conversation with over 30 Black parents and recorded those dialogues in podcasts. I've engaged Black parents online through my blog and social media. I've had the pleasure of gathering groups of Black parents in Los Angeles, San Diego, Detroit, Chicago, Boise, and St. Helena, holding space for Black parents who are freedom fighting for their collective liberation to engage with one another and share how they operationalize liberation in their homes. Knowing that parenting is a collective effort, I have had incredible collaborators such as Move to End Violence, Mothering Justice, Cadre, A Long Walk Home, Black Activist Mothering, and Chicana Motherwork, with whom I have led parenting workshops in women's prisons in California and for whom I wrote a chapter in their anthology. Through Parenting for Liberation, I work in deep partnership with Black parents to name, interrupt, and transform trauma responses as a strategy to cultivate liberated parents that are ready to challenge institutional violence and racism on behalf of their children and community. My core belief? Centering Black parents is key to unlocking the multiple barriers to disrupting the cycles of oppression that are perpetrated against Black communities. Parenting is a political act, after all. Audre Lorde, Black queer feminist poet and scholar, described her parenting as a revolutionary act that had the ability to liberate and free not only her own children, but also engage her children as agents of social change. What is becoming clearer is the need to identify ways to shift from fear to liberation before we can activate Black parents to challenge institutional oppression. The work has evolved from focusing on ways of parenting our children to engaging with Black parents to do their own healing and transformative work, and supporting Black parents to understand intergenerational trauma rooted in slavery. Based on research by Dr. Joy DeGruy, there are many chains that need to be broken to heal Black parents from the impact of post-traumatic slave syndrome, such as punitive parenting practices that are rooted in fear from slavery. Rather than vilifying Black parents, Parenting for Liberation is working to unearth and connect to these deep-seated historical traumas and provide liberatory and healing practices for Black parents. When parents can access their own liberation and healing, they are equipped to advocate and support their children and community. Imagine Black parents with multiple seats at decision-making tables. The decisions and solutions conjured up in those spaces would be inherently radical, centering the most impacted and laying the foundation for equity for ourselves, in our homes, and in our communities. Now, when Terrence is outside playing, he is no longer required to check in, declaring that he's alive. Instead, he plays in community with other children whose parents and grandparents I've built relationship with. I have the security of knowing that I don't have to parent alone, and that there is a village of folks who are keeping an eye on him. About this guide. This guide is a compilation of stories collected from the podcast interview transcripts of Parenting for Liberation. Throughout the many conversations I've had with Black parents, it is becoming clear that the impact of fear and trauma is disconnection. Disconnection from self, from our children, and from community. Thus, the pathway to interrupting and healing from the trauma is reconnection. This guide is broken down into three sections that highlight three paths of connection that support the shift from fear-based parenting to liberated parenting. Reconnection to self, reconnection to our children, and reconnection to community. Section 1 will highlight stories of parents who have explored the ways that we can reconnect to ourselves, such as increasing awareness of our own trauma response, exploring our own childhood trauma, identifying habits that were learned as children that we can unlearn, and exploring healing practices. Section 2 will reveal stories of reconnecting with our children by being in mutual and equitable relationships with our children that honors their identity and their truths, exploring family practices that integrate children's voices, and the types of educational environments that will help elevate their sense of pride and self as Black children. Section 3 will share stories from parents who are reconnecting to community by building with other Black parents to share stories, swap strategies, and remind us that we are not alone, while also connecting to larger societal contexts and social justice movements. Accompanying each story are liberated parenting strategies, which first invite you to reflect on a particular shift that you can make in your parenting, followed by an opportunity to practice the strategies that are discussed in the story. What of those strategies are applicable to you and your parenting? Space is provided for your written reflections. Feel free to use other means to reflect, such as art, poetry, journaling, etc. This guide can be done individually or collectively. We know that each parent-child relationship is different, and there are no one-size-fits-all guidelines for parenting. We hope that this guide inspires you on your journey towards liberatory parenting. Section 1. Reconnection to Self. Section 1 focuses on reconnection with the self. Parents spend a lot of time, energy, and resources focused on their children. The first step on the path to parenting for liberation is to seize the opportunity to look at and be present to self through deep self-reflection and self-awareness. Section 1 provides an opportunity to look into the mirror, which can be challenging. This isn't about looking at yourself in the mirror to fixate on flaws, but to instead embrace the pieces of you that are sometimes hard to accept and loving them still, all the places of imperfection. Once you've looked in the mirror, another element of reconnection to self involves parenting ourselves and nurturing ourselves, essentially giving love and attention to our own inner child. Throughout this section, you will hear stories from Black parents who have begun the hard work of self-reflection and reconnecting with self. Stories in this section will highlight narratives of parents who have explored the ways that we can reconnect to ourselves, including increasing awareness of our own trauma responses, exploring our own childhood trauma, identifying habits that were learned as children that we can unlearn, and exploring healing practices. Following the stories of deep self-reflection, you will be invited to do your own self-reflection through various liberated parenting strategy exercises. The exercises engage a variety of reflection approaches such as poetry, music, videos, journaling, and art. We want to invite multiple ways of learning. As you do these exercises, notice what comes up for you. Reflecting on your childhood self, what are you learning about yourself? What are you loving or learning to love about yourself? As you do these exercises, remember to offer grace and love to the places that may feel hard, and gratitude and celebration to the places that feel joyful. Story 1, Breaking Apart as a Parent, Maya Williams, author of This Is How We Survive, Revolutionary Mothering, War, and Exile in the 21st Century. I met Maya in Los Angeles around Mother's Day 2016. She was a brilliant and very matter-of-fact speaker during a panel reading and discussion of the life-affirming book, Revolutionary Mothering, Love on the Front Lines. Making the trek from Orange County to the venue in Chinatown, I was late. So I stood in the back, smushed between the kids' art activity table and the books for sale, in a room bursting at the seams with mothers, caregivers, and children. Maya shared her journey as a mother of moving with her daughter abroad and experiencing surveillance and systemic violence. I recall nodding in agreement as I had reflected on my own move from South Los Angeles to Orange County with my son. When it was time for the Q&A, I was nervous, but my friend, Dawn Marie, urged me to raise my hand. I shared my struggle with raising a Black boy and requested insights on how to transition from fear-based parenting to liberated parenting. That had been a question I had been chewing on for the previous year. Maya's answer during that short panel left me longing for more. I followed up with her and asked if she'd be a podcast guest, and the rest is history. She was my first official podcast guest. I interviewed her from my home in Orange County while she was traveling for her book tour. In our discussion, we explored segments of her writings, and Maya shared her radical mothering principles when it comes to safety, boundaries, and resilience from trauma. Here's a snippet of what she graciously shared with me. Breaking apart. While being a mother, whether it's during the pregnancy, the birth, or in the taking care of the baby, or even when your kid enters elementary school years, becomes a teenager, just somewhere along that path of being a mother, you will be broken apart. For me, that's me on the floor crying. I mean, like there's nothing left. I've got nothing left to give. Every mother, sooner or later, gets to that stage where it just breaks you. To me, whenever that happens, it's a bursting process. It is a moment of being traumatized. That is actually a moment when we can make some choices. In the healing from that breaking apart and the healing from that trauma, we can choose to either become harsher, angrier, more bitter, closed off, and controlling of other people, or we can take that moment to see that, even while we are breaking apart, we haven't been broken. This is actually an opportunity for me to be able to reach out and become more open, more community-oriented. It can be a pathway for us to be able to relate to our children and to other mothers and be able to create community even more because we've had this incredibly human moment. This is really hard while simultaneously being a really beautiful and amazing moment. Unfortunately, we don't get to talk about the trauma of becoming a mother or the trauma of being a mother very often. But that trauma can actually be the ground and the soil in which we sow very different types of seeds for how we want to raise our children and create community. This early conversation with Maya raised a couple of points for me regarding trauma. First, the idea that motherhood is traumatic, even though it's often portrayed as the most beautiful, positive, and joyful experience of a person's life. In reality, it can be completely traumatic. From infertility and challenges with conception to complicated near-death births to postpartum challenges and infant phases. Secondly, Maya reframing trauma as soil for new seeds opened up something for me to see what's possible because, not in spite of trauma. So often we talk about the need to be resilient and bounce back from trauma, but Maya offers what is possible in our trauma. Story one, liberated parenting strategy. Reflect. Think about a time when you felt you were breaking apart as a parent. As Maya shared, it can happen at various states of our parenting journey, from pregnancy to birth to elementary school, etc. As you return to that time, getting in touch with how you were feeling, think about what felt possible and impossible. What choices and options were available to you? Read Tupac Shakur's The Rose That Grew From Concrete, a short 8-line poem about rising above one's circumstances. Using symbolism, Tupac calls our attention to a rose that does not allow dire conditions to hinder its growth. Instead, the rose proves nature's law is wrong. Similar to Maya's story, the rose in Shakur's poem leverages the cracks in the concrete to breathe fresh air. After reading the poem, reflect on a rose that has bloomed from you breaking apart. Practice. Often, we try to present ourselves as though we have it together. And when we experience breaking apart, we retreat and withdraw, feeling alone and isolated. As Maya shared, our moments of breaking apart are opportunities to be more expansive. Using that past experience of breaking apart to prepare for your next breakthrough. Create a break apart to breakthrough plan. Write out. Next time you find yourself breaking apart, consider it a moment to open up and invite your community or village into your trauma. How can you connect with your community the next time you are breaking apart? Here are some questions to ask yourself to create a breakthrough plan. When I am breaking apart, it looks, feels, and sounds like. When I am breaking apart, I will not judge myself. I will give myself grace and understanding by. A mantra I can say to myself is. A care practice I can engage in is. A few people I can connect with are. Story 2, Shifting Away from Tough Love. A. Rashawn Meadows Fernandez, writer for On Parenting in the Washington Post. On the heels of the visible upsurge of white supremacy in Charlottesville in 2017, I saw a beautiful article which made the call for Black parents to spoil their children as a sort of a coat or buffer of protection from the hatred being spewed. Reading the article, I had so many moments of resonance, and yes, girl, that I decided to reach out to the author via Facebook Messenger. Here's what I sent her. Thank you for your much-needed perspective and analysis in your recent piece in the Washington Post about spoiling Black children. Your frame and perspective is at the core of my passion project, Parenting for Liberation. I have made a commitment to engage with folks who are raising Black children who want to shift from fear-based parenting, rooted in protection since slavery, to parenting for liberation. I would love to interview you about this piece for my podcast. I believe Black parents need to hear stories about what it means to spoil Black children given the negative connotations with spoiling. For example, spare the rod, spoil the child. If you're interested, please let's connect. For more information, visit www.parentingforliberation.org. Also on Facebook. A. Rashawn responded very positively to my humble request and invited me to share my parenting reflections in her follow-up article to be featured in On Parenting in the Washington Post. Following the publication, I connected with A. Rashawn for a podcast interview. We spoke by phone for the interview, and I could hear her child in the background. During our conversation, we reflected on the impacts of slavery and historical traumas that lead to fear-based parenting styles, such as tough love. A. Rashawn shared how she is breaking through historical and intergenerational cycles of parenting to resist tough love. Parenting in an affectionate way, breastfeeding and baby wearing. One of the first things that kind of sent me down the path of shifting from tough love to being fully emotionally present was deciding to breastfeed. That was the catalyst for me to acknowledge that I am simply feeding my child in an affectionate way. I would also baby wear him for ease to getting things done. I was shocked by the resistance that I received from people on both sides of the fence. People would say, "Oh, don't nurse him for too long. You'll be spoiling him." Or, "Don't hold that baby all the time. Then he'll be spoiled." That's when I questioned, how is being emotionally present for my child spoiling him? First, taking the literal concept of spoiling, which is to separate and then not be good anymore, my son is not a gallon of milk. He's not going to spoil. then taking on the definition that they're implying.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?